Hello, City Church. My name is Jacob, and this is City Church Together for Friday, April 16th. I am here with Whitney Nato. Welcome back to the podcast, Whitney.
Thank you.
We are currently in a series called Resurrecting Relationships, and just started this past Sunday. And the response has been really interesting. And I've been grateful for a lot of you just pressing into your community groups this week into what loneliness looks like and maybe what it doesn't look like and just trying to parse that out. And so we're going to have Whitney here every week, every Friday, to go through a lot of the themes that are taught in the sermon the previous Sunday and just figure out what it means to live out these principles of resurrecting relationships. And something common I hear, Whitney, is that when loneliness, you know, is talked about in church, it can kind of feel like, if I could put it simply, it feels like the Christian response, like, oh, Jesus will fix it. Find it in Jesus. But what does that really mean? Can you parse that out for us?
Yes, that is a really good question. I'm so grateful that people are vulnerable enough to ask it, especially in the church environment, where it feels like if you ask that question, then you must be missing something that everyone else understands. But I think the response to that question is a deeper understanding of loneliness and how God intends to transform our loneliness. Mm. And it's not a simple fix. It's right. Not one that does not experience grief and frustration and emotions,
mm-hmm.
Because loneliness itself is not tied completely to circumstance. Loneliness is an emotional response.
Mm.
And if you look around and talk to anyone at church on Sunday, you'll find that different circumstances have a similar experience of loneliness, whether you're married but struggling. And so loneliness is present because you are lacking an emotional attachment to your spouse.
Mm.
Or you are single again because of a loss of a spouse through divorce or death. Even if you have friends around you, and so you look around and you're like, well, I'm not alone, but I feel lonely. It's the emotional part that loneliness is touching on. It's a feeling of being unknown, unseen, misunderstood. And that's some of what even Trevor talked about with Justin Bieber, for example. And so much of what we hear about celebrities is they are seen by so many, but they're not known. And God designed us to be fully known and fully loved. And so being seen is something that is so important to just the human nature. And so the experience of loneliness is not confined to a particular group, which allows me to consider that the fix is not a person outside of Christ. And so while it seems like that is a trite answer, we know that if there's lonely married people, then a spouse is not going to fix someone in singleness struggling with loneliness.
Right.
If we know that singleness it can be lonely, then we know that divorcing your spouse because you feel emotionally lonely is not going to fix that either. And
mm-hmm.
So while people are important, our relationships in the church are important, and marriage is beautiful, and having kids is impactful. I want to take a look a little bit later in the podcast on how God intended to transform our loneliness to make those relationships more like Him and like He designed, and actually more full of joy and being known and seen. But I do want to touch on the fact that I know that in Genesis, God says that it was not good that man should be alone. And so I know that passage gets brought up often. I know that when I was single and I was in seminary and we had to do self-counseling projects, and I think I did 4 on loneliness. So this is something that I particularly understand from the grief level of just the fact that it doesn't always make sense. Like, you can have parents around you, you can have friends around you, you can have a church around you, but there is some longing in you that is not satisfied. And we do try to seek that in, oh, if I was married, then I probably wouldn't feel this. And while there could be, you know, again, marriage is beautiful, that loneliness, every time I did the project, exposed something else about my heart. And so even when God was talking in Genesis about that it was not good for man to be alone, Adam, you know, in scripture is not looking like he wasn't the one that said, hey, I feel like something's missing, because he was in communion with God.
Right.
And so it was God looking for something, you know, probably similar to his overflow of love onto man and desiring to see that imaged in man overflowing onto one another.
Wow.
So it wasn't a loneliness. It was something about imaging him in that creation. And so just realizing that sometimes when the church says that you find that in Christ, it's because that's, you know, originally how it's designed. Like we were first loved fully by God, and that love matters. Mm-hmm. And so in our loneliness, one of the first things we're looking at is does it matter to me that I'm fully loved and known by God? And it is difficult, because you're like, well, he's not here with me. You know, I don't always feel, you know, he doesn't at work give me praise for what I did. And so there's, you know, that's why it's transforming loneliness and figuring out if there's something that we've been seeking that can't hold up what God has intended to hold up. And so the other thing I know is neuroscience completely confirms that relationships are important.
Okay, bring in those big facts.
Anytime, you know, you talk about, you know, the counseling world, counseling is really difficult without relationships for the person. Engaging in trauma or addiction or deep grief is done within community, even more so than the counselor as community, because our brain is wired to need one another, and that transformation happens in being known and seen. From a book that I was reading, it quoted that our psychological and emotional development depends on the quality of our friendship. So it is clear that God said that it was not good for man to be alone. It is clear from neuroscience that our relationships are important. But within transforming loneliness, we're asking more why, and not looking at that and saying, see, I need someone.
Right.
You do, but I don't know if we always consider why we need people. Mm. And so that's what I would love to even go into more. I've talked before on emotions and loneliness, if we're talking about it as an emotion, is always a window into our heart. Mm. So it is not something to be minimized and say, you know, hey, just love Jesus more and then you won't feel that way. That emotion is not necessarily going to go away on this side of heaven. If you've experienced grief at all from the loss of a loved one, there's not a point on this side of heaven where you stop feeling that grief until you're united with Christ and resurrected with everyone again. And so if it is an emotion, it is one that you might continue to experience because it's exposing something broken about our world and how things operate and how relationships operate. And it does make sense that if sin broke our relationship with God and there was loneliness and disconnection from him, and that Christ died so that we could be reunited, that we're going to experience brokenness and loss in our relationships here that don't work the way they should. You know, you read scripture about love God and love others, and the reality is, if we were all loving God and loving others, then no one would feel lonely. Just like, you know, in anything where everyone is being generous and there's not a lack. And so there is a way that we were designed to love God and love others without any hindrances. And yet, because of sin, we do struggle. And so that emotion is one that is there, and it's not one to avoid. And so I would encourage you, if you're experiencing loneliness, to sit down and ask yourself more about it. It is a window into your heart. What I've noticed often with loneliness is that if especially in COVID, and I'm sure many of you can reflect back, loneliness, especially when you are then also alone and disconnected from people, is an echo chamber for negative thoughts. You will in the emotion of loneliness start to create identity statements about yourself. I am lonely because I'm not funny. I'm not beautiful. I don't understand God's word well enough. I've sinned in the past. And so when you sit down and start to look at your loneliness, what you'll start to see is that loneliness is not just an emotion. It's not just a life circumstance, but it tries to create an identity and a narrative for you and for others.
Yeah.
And so what I would encourage you to do is sit down and figure out, like, are those statements true? Loneliness is a window more into who you are and who God says you are. And oftentimes, if you ever sit across from someone and say, hey, I don't feel like we've been friends, did I do something? Oftentimes you hear, no, I'm sorry, my capacity was out. I wasn't even considering it. It really was one of those, like, it's me, not you. And so it is really important to be talking about your loneliness and allowing people and God's word to tell you who you are. Loneliness, again, is the emotion. It doesn't necessarily mean that you did something to cause it. Loneliness comes about because of life transitions and finding, you know, having to rebuild friendships. Again, there's ways in which loneliness is a response because of, you know, someone left you. And so it doesn't always, is not always like Job's counselors make it out to be, connected to your sin. So loneliness can be an echo chamber of your negative thoughts, and it's something to slow down and consider. Loneliness also exposes something about how you view yourself. It also exposes something about how you view your relationship with God. And so that is something that when you slow down, you and you ask yourself, all right, the church says that it will be fully satisfied in Christ. It doesn't feel like that's a viable option. Sure. And then you have to ask yourself why. Like, what do I know about the gospel? If it was important enough for Christ to die so I can be reconciled to God, that seems like an important relationship.
Right.
And it seems like one that could fully fill up what is lacking. Mm. Being seen and felt is incredibly important. We know that if you look again at neuroscience of attachment, so much of attachment at a early age is the eye contact a parent makes with their child, the fact that the parent can feel the needs of their child. That's why staring at your cell phone when your kids are around is so difficult or so hurtful for a kid, because they can't read your emotions and they don't know if you're feeling them at all. And so that's the same for our friendships. We have a desire to be felt.
Yeah.
But why it's much deeper than just having a person present. It is that emotionally being seen and felt. And that's something that God is clear in Scripture. He says that he will never leave or forsake you. He says that he sees you. He says that whether you're on top of a mountain or in Sheol, he is near. And so there's so many passages of Scripture that really speak to that chesed love, that attachment, that I see you, I hear you, I love you, I know you. And so if that is what loneliness is longing for, then you have to ask yourself, what does it look like for Christ to meet that? And if you've never really considered that because your eyes have been focused on the scene, you know, people who you want to do that, and I'll get to, like, that is valuable and I'll get to that too. But if you've never considered or even experienced that fulfillment in Christ seeing and God the Father seeing you and Christ knowing you well enough to die for you, then that's something to consider within your loneliness. The other part of loneliness as a window is that all suffering has a possibility to ask a couple of questions of you and something to consider. Loneliness, especially, just like other types of suffering and grief, is an opportunity to enhance your relationship with God. Yeah. Just like the questions I just said, you will deepen your relationship with God when you recognize, I don't feel like this is enough and I don't know why. God, help me. It also allows you to experience a measure of Christ's suffering. Scripture talks about how we're called to fill up the afflictions that are lacking in Christ. We're called to image Christ's death and resurrection on a cross. And so there is a reality of following Christ into death, into a resurrection with our cross. And Jesus especially is a high priest who can empathize with loneliness, because all of his friends left him when he died for all of us on a cross.
Yeah.
Jesus is the only person that has felt complete loneliness, because the Father did forsake him for that time so that we would never have to be forsaken. And so Jesus is someone that really has experienced this to the depth. And again, you ask yourself through God's word and other people, does that matter to me? And what does that mean that I have a high priest who can empathize with me? I'm sure you know it's much easier to sit across from another person who's experiencing death of a spouse or singleness, because you know they can empathize with that pain, and they're not going to just give you a fix it answer. They're going to give you an emotional response. And Jesus is someone who can give you an emotional response. It does expose some of our remaining sin, but again, mm-hmm. not all loneliness has to do with our sin, but it does allow us to open our heart. Where do I not allow God to be sufficient?
Yeah.
It also has an opportunity to exhibit Christ's work in us. If people, who are outside of the church or even people inside of the church see joy that surpasses understanding, see that you have been single for a while or that you've experienced abandonment or rejection, and see that you still trust God the Father and that you still listen to His Spirit, that you are still walking and pouring out in other people, mm-hmm. that does help people ask, there's something different. Like right. I was in that situation, I would be hopeless and despairing. And so loneliness is another window into exhibiting Christ's work in us. It also engages us more actively in the body of Christ. And that's, yeah. A call to action that I have for everyone when we're talking about loneliness is, first, you do, just like, what you hear oftentimes in the church, have to consider, how is Christ sufficient? The second thing is, once you are filled up by Christ, how do you pour that out onto other people? And that really is something I have meditated on and thought through, is loneliness is deeply painful. And I'm grateful for the opportunities I can sit across from someone experiencing it, because that is a feeling that I have felt, and I have a desire to affirm that it is an emotional response to a situation. However, without being connected first to the vine, first connected to Christ, first fully filled up by Him, you won't be able to move towards other people. You will move towards other people for the sake of getting something from them, which will be consumption. It'll eventually not be what you thought it could be. And that's where bitterness can take root. And so the answer the church offers is, if you're experiencing loneliness, first be filled up by Christ, is not there because it's, I don't want to be your friend and Christ is going to, so there you go. It's, you cannot be a friend, you cannot be a mentor, you cannot be a spouse, you cannot be a parent if you're not first being filled up by Christ, because the filling up of Christ is intended for you to then pour out. Just like love God and love others. There's not something in there that is necessarily taking from someone else. Again, if it works out the way it's intended, then everyone's loving God, everyone's loving others, so everyone gets loved.
Right.
But it does, if you are filled up by Christ, then you can engage more actively in the body of Christ, which does fill up what was lacking in mm-hmm. when you were lonely. It does equip us for wiser, more compassionate ministry. If you are experiencing loneliness, and when you sit across from someone, you will be like, gosh, I remember that. I know how painful that was. And you will be more patient, more understanding. You will walk them through how God comforted you.
Right.
Instead of just saying, fix it, like, well, go find a friend or go read your Bible, which are all, again, like in general, very helpful next steps.
Yes.
But when you are experiencing loneliness, is an emotion that's intended to be engaged with the right brain and not necessarily have the left brain enter in yet.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, in the middle of that, I think it, in the middle of loneliness, it can feel like you're stuck. It's like, because if we're being honest, a lot of times when we are abiding in Christ, a lot of that, what that looks like is sitting in silence, reading scripture. It's very mundane, And so to the person who is like, man, I'm really trying mm-hmm. to abide in scripture. But my friends are, kind of out of reach. And mm-hmm. so how does moving towards one another, like sitting across from one another, how does that practically work out? Mm-hmm. So I hope I didn't jump too far ahead.
No, that's great. It's a very, very good question. And any deep emotion oftentimes feels stuck. And that is where Christ is the one who can enter in and help you out. But you do need other people who see it. So there's a couple of things I would encourage and suggest. For the person who feels stuck, continue to confess, but also consider that God designed you to overflow onto other people. And it's sort of like a Mr. Miyagi, Luke Skywalker, like, I'm going to tell you to serve other people. And that doesn't make sense as the way to fill up your loneliness.
Right.
But it is how God God fills us up so that we can be poured out. And if you do start to look around and see other people, maybe take your eyes off of the type of friend or type of spouse or type of relationships that you thought would fill you up and start looking around to see who else is in need of encouragement, who else is in need of service.
People that are like proximate.
Yes. Yeah. And surrounding you, that you will notice that over time, it's again, one of those things that peace surpasses understanding. Like, okay, like that emotion is still there at times because it'll pop up when you're considering really areas of grief and loss that you would like for God to restore, that he might not be possible on this side of heaven, but you will start to notice that relationships build. So many of the closest relationships I have started with me babysitting or me going over to someone else's house. And it was hard. Like, I am a homebody and I'd rather be in my own house. but in serving other people, some of my deepest relationships were formed. And even, you know, I've talked about it on the podcast before in the book Hinds Feet in High Places. The character Much Afraid goes to the shores of loneliness, and the entire chapter is such a good example of what the experience is like. There's a part where all of her cousins, fear, bitterness, start echoing all of the lies about her and about the Good Shepherd, which is exactly what we experience in loneliness.
Yeah.
But there's a time where she's noticing, she sees the shore of loneliness, and she reflects and says, "Therefore, though she went with sorrow and suffering day after day along the shores of the great sea of loneliness, she did not go cringingly or complainingly. Indeed, gradually an impossible thing seemed to be happening. A new kind of joy was springing up in her heart, and she began to find herself noticing beauties in the landscape of which until then she had been quite unconscious."
Wow.
So even in that, she didn't recognize that over time until it was, you know, through it, like, okay, I feel a joy that I hadn't had before. And it doesn't make sense because no one else has filled that up yet.
Right.
But it has been because her journey with the Good Shepherd is starting to matter more to her, and her trust in him is starting to grow.
Yeah.
And so again, C.S. Lewis says, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world.
Come on.
And so when people encourage you to find Christ in the midst of loneliness, it's not because other people don't matter. We know that relationships do. It's because the thing that is really going to transform your loneliness is Christ, because that's what we were made for. And that's, you know, what we'll receive in heaven again. But I would also, to your question, encourage people. I know there's many people who don't experience loneliness, and it could be for many reasons. They could be fully content in the Lord, which, praise God.
Yes.
Or you could just have enough comfortable things right now. Spouse could be wonderful. Your kids could be perfect. Your job could be ideal, and you just don't really notice loneliness. And it's not entirely connected to your relationship with Christ, although I'm sure it plays a part. So I would even consider anyone who's not experiencing loneliness right now to ask yourselves, am I comfortable? Is there someone God is calling me to move towards?
Yeah, that's good.
Because while I did encourage those who are in the midst of loneliness to reach out and serve, I also know that there's people who are not experiencing that can also move towards and invite in.
Absolutely.
And so this is how we as a church body enter into suffering with one another, especially emotional suffering that has many different facets. Again, loneliness, it's hard to talk about loneliness on a podcast because if I sat across from you, there's so much story and so much context and so much experience with loneliness that I would want to encourage and speak to.
Right.
You know, 1 Thessalonians talks about encouraging the faint-hearted, and I know loneliness can lead you to feel very faint-hearted. So I would call the people of our church to, if you feel full, to look around and see who you could invite into your house, who you could invite over to run an errand with you. And that stuff we'll talk about with what friendship and mentorship looks like.
But yeah.
The idea of loneliness is not just that the person experiencing loneliness has to bear it on their own. We are called to bear each other's burdens. And while you are not called to step in and be the person that fills the gap, you are to be the hands and feet that represents Christ and helps the person, you know, see Christ. Oftentimes when when we have joy in Christ and we're able to move towards other people, and when we have joy in people, we can move towards Christ. And so it's just, it's a back and forth. And so I would encourage you to look around and see where does God have you right now? If there's not relationships for you to move towards, then you need to sit and ask God to help you understand who you are to him. If you're, you know, if there is someone that you've just kind of, you know, if you're feeling lonely, but you've overlooked other people because they didn't necessarily meet what you thought was going to fill you up, move towards those people because God has put them before you. And then if you feel satisfied right now, move towards the lonely. And again, post COVID, loneliness is a deeply felt emotion to many because it has to do with being misunderstood. I know in seasons of my life, I've had plenty of people around me, but if there's a grief I'm experiencing, then loneliness accompanies that because I feel alone at times in that grief. So just moving towards people, knowing that that's an experience that many are having.
Right.
You know, to end it, you know, I'd love to give everyone a call to action. You know, one, if you're experiencing loneliness, read the Psalms. You have Psalm 55 where a friend has abandoned someone and loneliness follows. You have Psalm 27 where family abandons. And so you have loneliness. You know, you have, Psalm 142, again, where friends are not present. And so the writer feels alone. And then throughout the Psalms, then you have reminders that Christ, that God sees you. You have Psalm 139, Psalm 73, Psalm 62. And so go to the Psalms as a good start to know that God sees you. And then a, you know, practical step is if you're experiencing loneliness, then, consider this week one person that you want to serve, whether that's encouragement or taking something or watching someone's kids. You know, we'll again continue to talk about that practically moving forward, but just consider a person and then follow through with it. Move towards someone this week out of an overflow of love and see where that relationship can go. And then if you're someone who feels fully, as you're listening, you're like, wow, like I don't, praise be to God, I have not felt loneliness recently. Then you also look around and consider someone who you know, because of life circumstances, like, you know what, I bet that loneliness is something that has been close to them recently. I'm going to move towards them. And you also invite in and serve. And again, that can be an encouragement. That could be something in person. That could be something that you drop off. But for both sides that you find yourself on the loneliness spectrum, I would call the church to move towards each other. And you know, even if you're moving towards each other, ask each other what your experience with loneliness has been like, and to enter into that. But to, you know, conclude your initial question, it is not a cliche statement to say that you will be fully satisfied in Christ in your loneliness. It is full of truth and depth and really what will give you the overflow you're looking for. But I do think it is really important for us to consider people's experiences and be patient and lead them into attachment to God.
Right.
And so don't be put off by the statement and say, well, it doesn't make sense to me, so there has to be another way.
Sure.
There's a lot of things in scripture that don't make sense. There's a lot of ways that Mr. Miyagi's way of bringing about, you know, success in, I don't know, the fighting world, so many words. That's not necessarily my movie, Karate Kid, karate, didn't make sense as well. But trust the one who created you. And scripture is replete with examples of just the satisfaction that comes from loving God and loving others. So I would love to pray for you all. You know, if you have any other questions or if this really has touched just a part of you that you hadn't been processing and want to have that conversation with me, feel free to email me at wnato@boroughcitychurch.com. But let me pray for you. God, thank you so much just for City Church and just the ability to be able to get on a podcast and encourage the faint-hearted to speak on the way that you intend to transform loneliness. And just the fact that you see us in our loneliness, God, that when we are weary, when we are weak, that you see and you enter in and that you care. God, help us as a body reflect you. Help us to enter into suffering with one another. God, and call us to see, like Much Afraid, just the beauty in walking with you through loneliness, to be able to see more clearly in those moments and to just deepen our relationship with you. God, help us not to go quickly through suffering, but God, to allow it to be windows into our heart, to make us more like your son, and to even deepen our understanding of how you see us. God, it is so comforting that we are seen and known fully by our Creator. God, so much so that you died and rose again for us, God. I ask that you allow this series to unify our church and to help us learn how to move toward one another, whether we're in suffering or not. God, that in all ways you're calling us to love you and love others. God, I ask all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. City Church, go and multiply the gospel.